class today. Glad to see you all here today. Before we begin, we will talk about homework one, but any questions that aren't related to homework one or other comments or things you want to ask me before I begin what I'm going to say. Okay, I have been asked to announce, and I think it's a good thing to announce, about computer science applications. So if you are thinking about being a major or a minor in computer science, there are different applications and different deadlines you have to make depending on your current status. If you're in the School of Engineering or if you're the College of Arts and what year you are and so on. If you look at the lecture notes attached to today, I have listed all of the deadlines and a link you can go for more information. So if you think you want to do that, go there, look at that, make sure you do the right thing by the right deadline. I think that's the only announcement I had. So let's talk about homework. Oh, that was fun. Let me log in so we can talk about homework. Okay, so, oh, well, that's an unusual view. There we are. All right, so, homework one, when you look at the homeworks, it'll ask you to tell us what you think of the problems before you can see the descriptions. I'll talk about this blue box here in a moment. Okay, let's just talk about what each of them are going to do. One of them, you're going to ask the user for a temperature in Celsius, you're going to turn it into Fahrenheit. It's going to look like this, and you're going to upload it. You're going to give two pieces of text, so if you look at this example here, you're going to ask them to give you a piece of text, and you're going to read an entire line of text. We'll talk about how to do that. You're going to ask them to look for something inside of that line of text, and they get another entire line of text, usually a much smaller line. And then you're going to count how many times that the smaller thing was in the second thing was inside the first thing. Okay? So this is the problem. There is a description about how you do it. Basically, what I do is I'm going to look in my first string, this first line of text. I'm going to replace every place the smaller string appeared. And it won't. I'm going to replace it with nothing, with an empty string, with no characters in it. And we're going to compare the lengths before and after replacing to figure out how many times it appeared. And there's a description up here about how that works. The next one is going to use the dating folk rule, which says you can date people up to half your age plus 7 years old. Okay, and there's, of course, the complement of that. You can date people that are twice your age minus 13. So they're going to ask somebody how old they are and tell them the age range of people they're allowed to date. No matter how old they say they are, you're going to use this same folk rule. Okay. So compute two things based on one input. You are going to submit a drawing. It should not be a drawing we did in class. It should be your own drawing using turtles. The only special thing we require is that at the end of your drawing, you should have a line that will save your image. So we tell you exactly what that line looks like. It will save the image. You can look at the image on your own computer to make sure it really works, and so on. And last but not least, the hardest of the lot probably, is speed of sound. So how is this going to work? You're going to ask somebody what temperature it is in centigrade, and you're going to tell it the speed of sound in both meters per second and miles per hour. So again, it's mostly just math, and we tell you all the constants here. But there's a couple extra weird things. We're going to talk about decimal format, how to make it not show 15 places of accuracy. And so there's that extra piece there to make sure that works out. And you've got to. We'll also talk about named constants, okay? So we don't want to see this number just floating in your code, not meaning anything. We'll talk about named constants again today and how you make those work. And those are the pieces. When you go to submit, the moment you submit will give you some preliminary feedback. Things like, you gave us the wrong file, or you don't have your name anywhere in your file. Those kind of information will come up right away. 7, 8, 9 hours, give or take, after you submit, you will get some preliminary results. So here are some example preliminary results. Okay, so for the first one, for C2F, I intentionally submitted a very broken version. And it tells me that I didn't do the first example right, I didn't do the second example right, I also didn't do some things that weren't examples. and I didn't put my name and ID in a comment anywhere in the code. Okay? So it tells me I tried 6 things, 4 of them failed, here are the ones that failed. If I look at count word, I submitted a correct version of this, and it says it's great, we're good to go. Okay? And then for drawing, there are no tests, so it just says there are no tests. So, in general, if you see this and it says it's okay, you got it right. There's still a chance we'll talk you points if you did something like cheat or something else that's just really wrong. But in general, if it says you're okay and you are an honest person, then you got those points for that part of the assignment fully. If it doesn't say you got okay, we try to tell you what we think you did wrong, but some human will actually look at your code and try to decide how many points you deserve and try to be nice to you where possible. So this will happen about 8 hours after you submit. The reason it happens about 8 hours after you submit is we want you to think about this, try to get it working right, but we also want to give you feedback and reason to do it before the deadline. So we're going to try this. We haven't done this technique in this class before. If it turns out to be a disaster, we may revisit it. But that's roughly what we've got. So, questions? Yes? Okay, so it is quite possible that some of these... So you're saying that this error here, you should have your name and ID, didn't work. All right, that's possible. I may not have written the code that tries to detect your computing ID correctly. Okay, so I'll look at that code again and see if I can fix it. Okay, again, these are just my guess. I wrote a program that tries to read your program. My program is no smarter than a program. It might make mistakes once in a while. If you really got it right, you really got it right. Okay. If it says you didn't do the examples correctly, that's probably true. I'm very good at telling if you can do math. I'm not as good at telling if you wrote the right comments. I will try to make that more robust. Other questions? Yes?
So the file name should be exactly the same as the file name that it says?
It must be exactly the same. If you try to give me something that is not named C2F as C2F, it will not work. I will not even accept the file, and we can't run any tests on it. Names are very important in Java. You have to get the capitalization right, the spacing right, all of the letters in the correct position with the correct letter, etc. There's a hand. It's gone. Okay, come down here. Yeah.
Are you allowed to resubmit before the deadline?
You may resubmit as many times as you want. Okay. And you can also, at the bottom of every submission, it'll tell you if you submitted what you submitted last, when you submitted it. You can click on it and see what it was like if you somehow lost it on your computer. You can resubmit as many times as you like. You can even resubmit after the due date. It'll just turn your assignment into a late assignment, and you'll start getting late penalty. Yes?
When I try to submit, it says error multi-part / form data not allowed.
In theory, this is a problem with NetBadge. And so, in theory, if you reload the page and then resubmit, it goes away. That is not happening. You reload the homework page, then try submitting a second time, and the problem should go away. Does it? Okay. If it doesn't, raise your hand again. Yes?
If you find out that you get something wrong,
You can submit, I don't care how many times you submit, you can submit as many times as you want. The last submission you gave is the one we will grade and the one we will see if it was late or not. Okay? So if you decide you want to resubmit, go ahead. We'll override your old submission, we'll keep your new one, and that's the one we'll look at when we go to compute the grade. Did the reload work?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay. Yes. Okay, yes, so there's a comment in, I believe it's count words. Read 2 whole lines using next line and work for any pair of non-empty lines we provide. We'll talk about the different things that scanners can do. This is just saying you want to use the one that reads entire lines. Okay? So I'm trying to give you some idea of where it should work. The examples will, this second example won't work if you don't do that. And we'll show you what that means. Other questions? Yes.
It said for me that there was only one. Is there a way that I need to differentiate between the capital letters and
the... So there are three if you make them all the same, right? But by default, Java is always case sensitive, so lowercase t and capital T are different. You did something else wrong, I guess? I don't know. It does work. The algorithm we describe works there as well. So that's the sort of thing you might want to go ask a TA in office hours, where they can actually look at your code and see what it is you did wrong. All right. So, let's pick up, tie up some of the loose ends you'll need for that homework, as well as some things that we sort of didn't get through as much detail as we might hope last time. So let's start by talking about scanners. Before I do that, are there questions from last week's lecture that you didn't really get and you want me to make sure I clarify sometime today? Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about scanners. We talked about scanners right at the end of last time's lecture. And we said that scanners are things that can read from input sources. Okay? The input source we are going to use right now is system.in. It represents what you type in the console window of Eclipse. So I can make a new scanner, and a scanner is something that can read from that. Now, I can always make more scanners, okay? It is always possible to make a second scanner that also reads from that input source. But this is a bad idea. This is a bad idea because system.in will only provide each thing you type to one of the two scanners. They will be competing for what you type. And it is not obvious which one will get which word. Okay? So don't make two scanners for system.in. Java will let you, and they will start fighting over everything you type, and you can't always predict which one will win. So, one of the things that we will tell you every time you submit is we will look to see how many scanners you have reading from system.in. And if you have more than one, we'll tell you to get rid of all but one of them. Okay? You should have one scanner reading from an input source so they don't fight. Scanners can do a lot of things, but the main things we use them for is for getting words, lines, or numbers from the user. Okay? And usually we do this by first putting a prompt so somebody knows what you want. Okay? So I might say, type an integer, please. Okay? We'll talk about why I'll always put prompts as a print with a space at the end. There's a reason for that. We'll see that in just a moment. Okay? And then I will say int number equals s.next int. And then let's print it out. Okay? It's a very simple program. It asks for an int. It prints out the int after it gets it. Not particularly interesting. I run this. It asks me for an integer because I told it to ask me for an integer. I will type 1110. And it says 1110. Okay? Nothing too fancy. Now, you'll notice that I typed right here. And the reason I typed right there is because I made a print statement with a space. So when I went to type, I typed after that space. If I had made a println statement instead, then the place it would want me to type would be on the next line, because the previous println finished the line before. I can do it. It still works. Okay? I can still type down there. But when I type down there, it just doesn't look quite as nice. it's nicer to put it next to the prompt so people know where they're typing, because they're likely to say, I want to type here, and they can't. It's also worth noting, after I've run my program, it is no longer running, and I can no longer type. No matter how many times I hit the keyboard after it's run, I won't be able to type. If I want to be able to try it again, I just rerun it, and then I can type something else. Hey, whenever I happen to want to print. So I can ask for an integer. Let's also ask for, hit the wrong key. Let's also ask for a word. So let's have them type just one word. And let's print out both the number and the word. Okay. Wrong one. All right. So I ask them for an integer. I ask them for a word. I should make these prints not printlins, because I just said I always want my print prompts to be prints, not printlins. So I ask them for an integer. I get an integer. I ask them for a word. I get a word. And I'll print them both out. So I'll put my integer being 0, and my word will be ghastly. And I see 0 ghastly comes back out. I got those words, that number and that word, and I can do things with them. The scanner works in such a way, though, that I could have done something different. If I had put my second prompt before my first input, then I would see both of the prompts before I'm allowed to type. Okay? It's when I ask the scanner for the next thing that I'm allowed to type. So until I say that, I don't have the ability to type. So until I put these things here, I don't have that ability. And so now I would have to type 34, and then it's still waiting, because I got the 34, and now it's waiting for the word. Word. Okay? So when you're writing these programs, you want to put a prompt and input, a prompt and input, a prompt and input, for however many inputs you need. There's one more thing that we'll use a lot, which is getting lines of texts. Okay? The next line doesn't work the way everything else works in Scanner. And the textbook devotes about 3 pages to how you get next line and other things to play nicely together. Okay? I would encourage you to read that. I'm not going to go into it in great detail. I will just say this won't work. Okay? What this will do, it will ask me for my integer, I put 3, it will ask me for my word, I put word, and then it never actually asks me for the line of text. And the reason is because lines are different than other things, and the line that it read is the rest of the line that word appeared on, which is a silly thing for it to do, but it's how it's designed. Okay? So don't mix next lines with other nexts unless you use the extra steps the book describes. They've got a good description. It's not worth my time going into it in class right now. If I actually wanted the line, I would have to do something called burning a line. And the book explains why that's the right thing to do. So you're welcome to read that and come to an understanding of it. And that allows me to give multiple words at once when I read a whole line. So the count words, you should use next line twice. The other ones, I believe, all want integer inputs. You can use next int, and you should be good to go. Questions about our scanner? Okay. There are no questions, and let's move on. If you go to Colab, you will find, and hopefully many of you noticed this already, because you have to go here to get to your lab. Okay, if you go to Colab for our course, and you click on the course wiki, we have some little Java APIs. API, depending on who you ask, stands for something, something interface, application programmer interface, abstract programming interface, something along those lines. What it means is, what am I allowed to do with something? So if I click on scanner, you'll find a summary of what scanners are able to do. Some general notes, some examples of sources they can read from, and then some example code, what it would do. If S was a scanner, next line would do this, next would do that, and so on. Okay? This is intended as a quick reference. We don't go into great detail on any of these things in the APIs, but if you wonder, how do I do something with a string, you go look and see what can strings do. What am I allowed to ask strings? And there's this long list of things you can do with strings. This is going to be useful for you. I would encourage you to become familiar with it. When you're working along and you say, I want to do X to my string because it's to my string, go look at the string API. If it's from the input, go look at the scanner API. If it's, I want to do math, look at the math API. Okay, which will describe all the weird math functions that you can use, or most of them. It doesn't have hyperbolic trig functions, but nobody really uses them. Okay, so we have those references. You can also find them online. If you want something we don't have listed, you type Java API and whatever you're looking for into Google or Bing or DuckDuckGo or Yahoo or whatever your favorite search engine is, and you will find many examples of them that aren't quite as easy to read, but we'll have all that information. One of them I have up here is the decimal format API. So let's talk about the decimal format API and let's build into why we might care. Okay? So I'm going to remove most of this stuff. Most of this is already on the website and lecture notes, so I'm just going to get rid of it and start over. And we're going to talk a little bit about how decimals work. So if I make a double, let's make a double 0.1. I will call x 0.1, okay? And then I'll make another double y, which is 0.1 plus 0.1 plus 0.1. That's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of them, okay? So if I add 0.1 to itself 10 times, what should I get? 1, and I won't. Okay? So I'll print out x, okay, and I'll print out y, and I will see that x is 0.1 just like I expect, and y is 0.9999999999. And the reason is because, we mentioned this a little bit, but Java doesn't store numbers like we store numbers. It stores them in base 2, it stores them with 54 bits, which is approximately 16 and a half digits. And so it can't store 0.1 perfectly. It's wrong at about the 16th and a half digit. I add it together, that wrongness builds up, and I get the wrong number. Okay? This will actually also happen if I make things too big. Okay, so because I'm only storing 16 digits of information, let's make double w equals 0.12345678901234567890. Okay, let's print out w. And we will see that w only stores 16 and a half digits. It shows me 17, but the 17th one is wrong. Okay. And I can do weird things that you wouldn't expect because of this. Okay? So if I add 100 to W and then subtract the 100 back off, I should end up back at W. But I'm not going to, because along the way I lose some information. I lose 3 decimal places of information. Okay? So I see some of the lower order vanishes. It goes away. And if I keep doing this with bigger numbers, I can get rid of more digits of accuracy. Okay? So math doesn't behave quite like we expect because at every step along the way, it chops it down to the 16 and a half digits it can store. And it loses whatever was there. The Does this matter? For most of what we'll do this semester, we'll ignore it. There are entire fields of numerical analysis and numerical precision that deal with just this problem and how you use it for real math. Mostly it won't come and bother us. Okay? But one thing that will often happen is we don't want to show whoever's using our program all of that extra information. All we want to show them is what they expect to see, sort of the most significant part. There are several different ways of formatting numbers nicely. The simplest way, the way we will use in this class, is by making what's called a decimal format object. Okay, I will make a new decimal format object. Let me get rid of this here. And my decimal format object, when I make it, I give it a string which describes how I want it to format numbers. So I'm going to say I want it to format 0.0. Okay? Now, like Scanner, I have to import this. I don't have to remember where it comes from. I just let Eclipse tell me. I mouse over until it pops up and pick the first one, and it'll import it for me. Okay? So if I make a formatter, then what I can do is instead of printing out just W, I can print out my formatter dot format of W. Okay? And I see it shows me 0.1. So what I put in here is not a particularly complicated idea. If I put a zero before the period, then I will always show at least one digit before the period. However many zeros I put after the period, I will always see that many digits after the period. Okay? And it will round for me. So if I put my 0.9999999, it will realize that that rounds to one. Okay? I'm also allowed, instead of zeros, if I want, I can put pound signs, which mean only put this digit if it means something. Okay? So I don't have to say I always want those. I can say I want up to that many digits, and it will behave accordingly. There's lots of other things decimal formats can do. We could talk about how they represent negative numbers, and if it should always put a plus sign, and do we want commas, and so on. But usually what we do is we put some combination of I want exactly this many digits of precision or no more than this many digits of precision, and we go with it. So one of the homework assignments, the speed of sound, will ask you to use a decimal format object to format your output. You make the formatter, you describe what it should do, and you apply it. You tell it to format your numbers before you print them out. And then all that extra stuff that comes along, in part because we do math to 16 digits, and in part because we only do math to 16 digits, will be hidden. Questions? Yes?
There's an error that says multiple markers at this line.
Ah, okay. Yeah, let's see, I can create multiple markers on this line, can't I? Let's create multiple markers on this line. All right. Eclipse tries to tell you what you did wrong. And if you only did one thing wrong on a line, you're good to go. But if you do multiple things wrong, it'll tell you there are multiple things you did wrong on this line. So I did three things wrong on this line. I have the word decimal format twice without importing it, and I don't have a semicolon. Okay? Which makes it difficult to work on it. The easier way to do it is if I click on it, it should go to the first one and give me a pop-up of how to fix it. So I fix that one. And then I can mouse over it again, click on it again, and it should go to the next one, in theory, and it's not doing that this time. The other way you could do is if you actually go to the squigglies directly in the line of code, those will be one squiggly at a time, and you will give you single descriptions of what went wrong. So if you do multiple things wrong, you'll get multiple markers per line. Yes?
Do you have to make the boxes to input?
So when I write it, so this is a... When I'm giving you examples, there's the question, how do I distinguish between what you're printing and what the user is typing? The way I chose to do it is I put white boxes around what they're typing and blue boxes around the whole program. Okay? Your program, so if I look at the homework here, my program should print that. And then if the user types this, then my program should print that. And if the user types this, then my program should print that. Okay? So stuff in the blue, you should be printing using print or println. The stuff in the white is an example of what a user might type. You don't need to print it. They will be typing it. Does that answer your question? No.
We have to create the white boxes.
You can't create boxes.
Or do you think, how do you do that?
How did I do this? This is HTML. This is not a Java, so it has different rules about how you draw things. Other questions? Yes?
How do you put the quotes into the bottom line?
Yeah, how do I do quotes? Okay, so we talked a little about the weirdness of doubles and how they work. Let's look at the weirdness of strings. Okay, so let's suppose I want to have a string, and I want this to be... I want to talk about the word, word. Okay? I want quotes around the second word because that makes it grammatically correct. But I can't do that because quote means I'm at the end of a string. And so when Java reads this, it sees a string, some variable I never declared, and then another string all next to each other, and it doesn't like that. When I want to put special characters in strings, I can put a backslash in front of them, and they'll be treated specially. It's called an escape sequence. The book devotes several pages to this. It's got quite a good description of it. Okay. I also can't call it S because I've already used S. Okay. So I can make a string. I can put quotes in it by putting a backslash in front of the quote. There are other things I can put after the backslash. Okay, backslash T means a tab character. Backslash N means a new line. It is so unclear why you would want to put that in there when you can just use system.out.println and so on to create those. But if you ever want to, you can. And the book has a list of three or four others that you can also do. Okay? So the backslash quote is a quote character. The backslash T is a tab character up to 8 spaces. And the backslash N is a new line character. And you can put those things in there if you want. The backslash quote's the one you'll use the most often so that you can print quotes like we have in one of the homework assignments. Other questions? All right, let's talk about integers. We've talked about doubles are weird. We've talked about a little bit about how we can do things with strings. Integers also have their own set of problems. Okay, let's just do this directly in println so I don't have to keep coming up with names. Let's suppose I print 3. That will work fine. Let's then print 3 divided by 2. Okay? 3 divided by 2, contrary to popular belief, is not 1.5. It is 1. And as a matter of fact, it's very hard to get things that are that you wouldn't... So 13 divided by 12 is also 1, but it turns out that 13 divided by 8 is 1. Okay? What happens when you divide integers, or do any math with integers? Java says you have 2 integers, you must want more integers back. So if you divide, you'll just throw away the remainder. Toss it out the window. It'll only keep you the whole number part of the result. Okay? Which is annoying. It will cause you problems. You will try to do some division. You will get an integer back, and it won't be the right integer. Okay? How do you fix it? You make one of them a double. If either one of the numbers involved in the math is a double, then you will get a double back. It doesn't matter which number or both are doubles. If one of them is a double, you will get a double back. And doubles have decimal places. They'll represent things better. You'll get the information you want. So integer division does integer things. Now, sometimes I might have gotten 2 ints from the user, say, I'm not actually going to get them from the user because I don't want to have to keep typing. And I might want to get the division of them. I want to have I1 divided by I2. Okay? And I have no easy way of turning my integer into doubles just by putting a .0. It won't work. I can't say I2.0. Java won't know what I mean. Okay? So what I do instead is we have something called a cast operator. We cast a spell on I to turn it into a double. Cast operators behave kind of like minus signs. They attach to whatever is right after them, but they're type names in parentheses. So I can say, I want to treat I2 as if it was a double. I cast it into a double. Okay? And now it is a double, and now I will get the double division. So I can turn doubles into integers. I can also turn integers into doubles. I could go either way, okay? But it has to make some sense. I can't turn strings into integers or doubles this way. I can only turn other numbers into each other, okay? There is ways of turning one kind of object into another, but they're kind of tricky, and we won't talk about them probably at all, and if we do, it'll be towards the end of the semester. So we have this cast operator. Questions? Yes? Yeah, all right. So let's talk about warnings. These little yellow squigglies at the yellow warning signs are Java telling you maybe you did something wrong. Maybe not, maybe so. You can always ignore them. Always. They will not hurt you if you ignore them. But they do try to tell you something. Usually when I make scanners in large programs, I'm not reading from the console, I'm not reading from System.in, I'm reading from a file or from a web page or something. And when I'm done reading, I should close that resource. I should say, I'm done with the file, operating system, you can take the file back, I don't need it anymore. And so anytime I make a scanner, it's going to tell me, you haven't closed it. Closing the keyboard doesn't make much sense. You can do it. I could just say, I am done with the keyboard. S.close. Okay? And the warning will go away because I've said I'm done with the resource and it'll be happy. But I won't be able to use S, and I didn't actually gain anything by doing that. So don't. Just let it give you warnings. There's a handful of other warnings it'll give you from time to time. Just ignore them. They're fine. Other question? Yes?
Do you have backslashes when you're writing words and the word is a real word? I think it's my name.
I'm not sure I understand the question. Can you give me an example? What should I type to recreate your question? My name. Okay?
It's putting red when you render it and now.
The squigglies that it puts in comments are spell check. It should run. Did you by any chance put backslash backslash instead of forward slash? So comments must start with forward slashes, not backslashes. Did that? Is it still going on? Should ignore anything after two slashes. Yes?
How do you put slashes in the string
text? How do I put slashes in a string?
Yeah.
Slashes inside quotes don't do anything special. So I can't start a comment in the middle of a string. So I could just put them in there and they're just slashes. They're just slash characters. If I want backslashes, since one backslash means treat the next thing differently, the second backslash means don't treat it... Oops, wrong key. So the second backslash means don't treat it like a slash. Okay? So if I put two backslashes, it treats it as one backslash. It is fairly unusual to want to put a backslash in your strings, but if you ever do, you put two of them for every one you want. Yes?
Do The Java utilities dot scanner imported properly. It's got time to pervade from what's
going on.
It's got squiggly
black. Yellow or red squigglies?
Red squigglies.
All right, that's something that is, means you have something set up wrong or spelled wrong or in the wrong line of code, and I can't see that from the back of your computer monitor, so ask somebody when they can look at your screen. All right, we need to talk about constants before we're done here, and possibly also enotation. One of the two classes on Wednesday I talked about enotation, the other I didn't. I don't remember which was which. We talked about enotation. Not very many people think we did. Okay, let's talk about it really quickly. If I want to make a really big number, let's suppose I want 17 quintillion. I could take 17, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. I could type it out, but I don't want to, because then I have to count. So the typical way of solving this is you type scientific notation, right? Times 10 to the. But there is no times 10 to the because there's no to the in Java. There's no exponentiation operator. So what we have is a special notation. I put E, 15. The E means times 10 to the. And that's all it means. Times 10 to the. So I read this as 17 times 10 to the 15th power. And I run it. And you'll see it prints out just the same way, actually 1.7E16, okay? But that means 17 followed by 15 zeros. You may see it come out in the output sometimes. You may want to type it once in a while. It's there. It doesn't show up a lot, but if you see it, don't let it freak you out. It just means times 10 to the. Yes?
Can it be lowercase or uppercase?
Doesn't matter. Lowercase or uppercase will work. There's actually also weird places where it can be a P instead of an E and it changes what the number means and so on, but we'll just stick with E's. Okay? Lower or uppercase. All right. So at this point, I'm going to import here a file I wrote earlier so that we can talk about something about constants in an intelligent manner. Where did I put it? So I'm going to import these two. So let's look at this class right here. Okay? Here's a class. It works. We can run it. Let's run it. Okay? It's going to ask me to enter a number. I am going to enter, how about 203, and it says 0. Okay, that was instructive. How about if I type 23420? Okay, now I've got some other number. It's doing something. Okay? But it's so confusing what it's doing. This is an example of how not to write functional code. Okay? So there's a lot of things going wrong here. The first thing is spacing. I could fix the space by hand. I'm not going to. I'm going to select the entire file, go to source, and say format. Poof. Now I can read it. So remember that. Select the entire file, source, format. There's a keyboard shortcut listed up there you're welcome to use. Now I look at this, and I'm still not really sure what it's doing. It's got a scanner named Cheese, which is a strange name for scanners. Is it trying to read from cheese? So unclear. It's getting a number. It's multiplying it by this random number of no obvious meaning. It's casting that as an int and calling the int G. And then it's printing out the answer as G. Okay? This is doing something real that some people actually care about. Can anybody guess what it is? No, because the code is confusing. Okay, even once it's fixed, it's still confusing. This is another version of the same program where I try to make everything clear. So let's look down at main. We'll talk about what's before main in a moment. First, I've got lots of comments. So many comments. It is never a bad idea to add a comment with very few exceptions. Okay? So I see there's an input scanner. It's still got a strange name. It's got a strange name because this was written by somebody who coded 30 years ago, and that was the standard name for scanners back in the day. I borrowed his code. Hooray. Okay, but at least he tells you what it is in a comment. There's an input that tells you enter the number of songs. I read the number of songs. Again, some abbreviations going on, but it's better than it was. And then we get the gigabytes expected for that number of songs by multiplying the gigabytes by song per song by the number of songs, turning into an integer and printing it out. So now if I try this and I say I have 23,050 songs, it will tell me the amount of storage necessary for 2,350 songs is 108 gigabytes. It's meaningful information. Both the input and the output and the code, they all have more information I can read and understand. So write code like this. Write code we can read, not code that we can't. Okay? This is an important change. There's one thing here that we haven't talked about before, which is part of the reason I wanted to talk about this. When you're writing code, it is bad to have numbers floating around with no interpretation. Anytime there's a number that's floating around with no meaning, it is a place for people to get confused and do something wrong without realizing it. So you don't do that. Instead, you create what are called constants. Constants can be defined in various ways, but the way we will always do them, we'll put them outside of any method. I don't care if it's above or below, I'll typically put above. And you make them public, static, final. Public and static, we mentioned before, things in classes we're making public and static. We will talk about what those things mean later. For now, they just are. Double, we know what that means. This is a name, we'll talk about it as capital in a moment. Final means it can never be changed. This is its final value for all time. Okay? So when we make something outside, we're going to make it final so that nobody comes along and poof, changes it. When we make constants, we typically give the names all in capitals with underscores between words. This is tradition. You don't have to do it. But it's tradition in all existing Java code written by most people does. Okay? So by putting this line here, by making a constant, a public static final value for this number, when I read my code, I know what it's doing. And if I look at this number and want to say, is that the right number? I know what I should be comparing it to. I know what to check when I look at it. So when you write your speed of sound, you should put some named constants like this in your code, some public static finals, to describe what these magical numbers mean. Questions? Okay. Make sure I hit everything that I needed to hit for today. I did. Okay. So it's about 2 minutes early, but I've gone through the material I had for today. When we come back on Monday, we'll start talking about if statements, chapter 3 in the textbook. I'd encourage you to read it.